This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We got Jalen Waddle, the next Nico Collins, and how about some positive regression in fantasy football talk with Ryan Heath here of fantasypoints.com. Start off with Jalen Waddle. So you did a deep dive on your X timeline of late. He got a new contract. He was playing through some injuries last season. And again, just an interesting situation because he's paired with Tyreek Hill and Tua. So there's some that say, hey, with Tyreek Hill, he can't really truly succeed. When you look at maybe Tua, is that something that's going to hold him back? Kind of what do you think about Jalen Waddle, the profile, dynamic player with his career start, yet we still have a ceiling that is yet to be unlocked?
Yeah, so Waddle's interesting, kind of as you say, because he's so dynamic. He's so unbelievably efficient, no matter kind of what stat you look at. On a per route basis, he's been top five, top six in the league, yards per out run, first downs per out run, anything you look at, pretty much since he entered the NFL. And what's interesting about Waddle's last season and looking at him as a fantasy asset coming into this year is, last year, he really only played six full games, so only six games above a 70% route share, which it happened because he kept getting knocked out of all these games, just with these random injuries, like concussion early in the year, in and out with like back injuries, knee injuries, like high ankle sprain at the end of the year. Just a lot of stuff was keeping Jalen Waddle from being on the field full time. But when he was in those six games where he was over a 70% route share, he averaged over 17 fantasy points per game. He was the wide receiver seven in fantasy football when he stayed on the field. So that's really promising to me. And in addition to that, you mentioned regression. So Waddle was actually very unlucky in the touchdown department last year. So over the past three seasons, on average, wide receivers have scored a touchdown for about every 166 receiving yards or so. For Waddle, that ratio was one touchdown to 254 receiving yards last year. So this is a high-flying offense. Whatever you think about Tua, this is obviously a very, very good offense with Mike McDaniel at the helm. So to expect Waddle to score a handful of more touchdowns this year, it doesn't seem like that big of an ask. He's a very clear positive touchdown regression candidate to me. So kind of for all those reasons, I want a lot of him in all formats where he's going right now.
Yeah, that Miami Dolphins offense was one where you really – we don't see too many scenarios where two guys in the passing game eat up such of a market share. You know, that the common line was, hey, we saw some games where they had 50%, 55, 60% of whether it was yards, targets, just general production of that passing game, because the tight end position, pretty minimal, wide receiver three, they're still searching. So yeah, that's one that, and again, 2 yards per route run, right? Jalen Waddle is over that. And that's a really good litmus test for saying you're good. Like there's not really a lot of question when you build up sample size in your career and you stay over that, let's call it a Mendoza line, but a super Mendoza line of competent play there. I will say, I go back and forth on his teammate. Devon Achane is one that every model that I have for future value for Dynasty, it says have him higher, have him higher. And part of my brain keeps holding me back. I'm already among the highest in the industry on him. And I think there's a really good argument to have him as running back 4 in Dynasty. That sounds nutty just saying it. But again, he's a big play machine. It's a 20-point game machine, and he doesn't even have to be the 1A, which find me more guys that can do that. And the answer is almost none. But what are some things about Devon Achane that I think folks would need to hear? Because he's definitely one that everyone has that little bit of subsized pause about him, and they keep adding to the position with Jalen Wright this offseason as well.
Yeah, so I think everyone's immediate kind of revulsion against Achane is, well, as a rookie, he came into the league pretty small, and also he did not really carry a bell cow type of workload. He wasn't the lead back for a lot of the season. Even when him and Mostert were both healthy, it was at worst, or at really, really at best for Achane, an even split. But look, we said something similar about Alvin Kamara after his rookie season, where he was splitting the backfield fairly evenly with Mark Ingram. Both of them were really good in fantasy football, and Kamara was unbelievably efficient against all of the volume he had. So I have this stat called weighted opportunity, invented by Scott Barrett however many years ago. I like to look at the difference between a player's actual fantasy points and their weighted opportunity. So measuring the value of all their touches, their targets, their red zone touches, so on. So among rookie running backs drafted in rounds 1 through 3 in the NFL draft over the past decade that outperformed their weighted opportunity by 2.5 or more points per game, which Devon Achane easily fits into this group, that only 5 other running backs have done that over the last decade. All 5 of them had a volume increase in year 2, and 4 out of 5 of them averaged more than 20 fantasy points per game in year 2. Really, the only one that didn't work out there was J.K. Dobbins, who just missed his entire sophomore season with a really bad knee injury, and Todd Gurley, who had to deal with Jeff Fisher. So outside of that, like, we're looking at Alvin Kamara, David Johnson, Jonathan Taylor type of efficient rookie seasons. So I have a lot of confidence that Achane can capture more of a share of that backfield. And we already know he's really freaking good and really explosive. So I am trying to load up on him. I agree. He is absolutely in the top 5 dynasty running back conversation for me. I am trying to get as much of him as I possibly can, at the end of the second round in underdog best ball drafts at the moment. Yeah, I envision myself having a lot of Devon Achane this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny to look at running back because there's a lot of guys that you might not consider 25, 26 old, but they're at a treacherous point when you see what age does to profiles. And when you start looking at through that prism, there's not a lot of guys that match Achane's production possibilities. He strikes me, and again, this is not like a straight comparison, but I remember a lot of people having concerns about CJ Spiller, and it was, well, he can't hold up. He's not going to be a lead back. He had one season in the sun. It was pretty magical. And again, you don't have to try to encompass Achane for the rest of his career. If you hit you hit the big season this year, a half a season. We saw spurts of that last year. You're going to have exit possibilities for days. So if you want to go to a stud wide receiver, you want to upgrade your quarterback in Superflex, you'll have a lot of options, even if you don't want to stay in this. But I think being in it all the way until that moment so that you can decide is going to be the key part for owners and future owners.
Yeah, and I like the CJ Spiller comparison, because full disclosure, CJ Spiller a little bit before my time in the industry and in football, but I think Devon Achane is it's a decent thought experiment of what would have happened if CJ Spiller came out today, right? Right. I think we would be getting a lot more excited about a CJ Spiller type of profile, especially in one of these Shanahan style running attacks. Like that just sounds incredible to me. So,
well, also, yeah. We would have split the difference. CJ Spiller wouldn't have been a top 10 pick. I think with the landscape of running back, they probably would have faded him down to day 2 no matter what. And then maybe, you know, again, I thought Achane was a pretty big surprise falling as far as he did in the draft. I find it interesting, you know, that Jalen Wright, a lot of people are saying, well, you know, that's bad news for Achane. It's like, well, so more pedigree, a guy that put up a bunch of 20-point games, and you're saying some rookie with a receiving limitation in his profile, a wart coming out, a question mark, that guy's going to take his job, you know, or something of that regard. So I find that pretty interesting.
Yeah, no, I mean, a day 3 rookie in a total Mickey Mouse offense that racks up a lot of efficiency on the ground against the lightest boxes of almost any Power 5 running back. Yeah, no, I agree completely. I am not really considering Jalen Wright in this equation at all.
I almost think Jalen Wright could be, what if Raheem Mostert goes out? Like, I almost think that could be, he could take on the Mostert straight line guy. Let's take 10, 12, 14 of the carries, some of the dirtiest stuff. And then Achane kind of stays where he is at, you know, 40, 45%, maybe up to 50% of that backfield. But I almost think Wright's a handcuff to Mostert. We'll see how it plays out. But What do you think about Nico Collins? You came out with looking at target players as a potential breakout option in Dynasty this year. Nico Collins is a classic example, a one that we can obviously look forward, future cast there for potential breakouts in the future. What did you see from Nico Collins, and what can you kind of transpose to the future of possible breakout wide receivers?
Sure. So Nico Collins, I will admit, was a tricky one in terms of how are we going to predict that this guy will break out if we were speaking a year ago. But I think what the Nico Collins experience really should teach us as dynasty managers is we want to target it not only ambiguous wide receiver rooms, ambiguous any position rooms, certainly, but even more so. When a team gets a new quarterback and a new offensive coordinator or head coach, that offense, that regime is completely different from the one that we saw previously. And it should have no bearing on our valuation of the pieces in this offense. And that was a mistake that we made in Dynasty, that we made in Redraft, that we made fully as an industry with the Texans last year, where I don't think we looked at this Texans team and said, okay, this is a new rookie quarterback. This is a pretty nice, a new offensive coordinator from the Shanahan tree. We should get excited about this, or we should at least be open to the fact that this offense could be completely different from like the Texans offense that we is in our imaginations from the last several years. So just looking forward at what teams this applies to this year, it clearly to me applies to the New England Patriots. We have Drake May, a blue chip top three pick new quarterback. We have a completely new offensive coaching staff from the Stefanski tree, which I would rank that below the Shanahan tree as far as fantasy utility, but still better than whatever was going on last year, which I don't want to talk about at all as a Patriots fan. And then we look at how all of these wide receivers and pieces in this offense surrounding the quarterback are currently priced in Dynasty. And they're all priced like the New England Patriots offense is still a complete fantasy wasteland. And we don't know that that's the case. Drake May could be really good. He could have a CJ Stroud-esque rookie season. Do I think it's likely? No. But there's almost no downside at the ADPs for guys like Javon Baker, for even for guys like Demario Douglas, Kendrick Bourne, Hunter Henry, maybe more of a redraft piece. But all of these Patriots skill position guys, I am loading up on because that is how you find the next Nico Collins, is you take shots on young players in offenses that are priced down by the market, but which have asymmetric upside because of the new component parts of them.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Ready to pop the question and take advantage of 30% off? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com to get 30% off select lab-grown diamonds. That's BlueNile.com for 30% off lab-grown diamonds. BlueNile.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwood1, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwood1 now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwood1.
It's kind of similar. I would always look at the bottom five or whatever the bottom tier of offenses were the year before. And I would ask I'd go through these exercises of, okay, same quarterback. Is it a younger quarterback? Did they have a veteran that threw 25 picks? It used to be the Eli Manning rule, you know, or some of these situations. And it would just be looking at basics of, can they become average? Because if they go from 30th to 15th, there's going to be a lot of fantasy value that a lot of people are ignoring because of the price, because of the stink on those applicable players. And I agree with you. New England is one where factory reset, let's get everything out. Let's get all the new stuff in. And like you said, if you get lightning in a bottle or even good enough or above average for a rookie quarterback play, someone's going to win. At least one piece in that passing game is going to win. They're all cheap. I don't even know offhand who the most expensive guy is, you know, because Kendrick Bourne's super cheap. It might be Jalen Polk. Polk might be the most expensive
guy.
Early third valuation there. So that means you can get in the door. You want a piece of this in terms of getting it right. Jacoby Brissett probably not going to be the thing that rises this tide and gets it right. But Drake May certainly, whenever that infusion happens, could be. How about over there in Atlanta? So I've talked to a couple Atlanta resources about obviously Michael Penix is a key point. Kirk Cousins, his recovery is a key point. But Kyle Pitts versus Drake London, this is one where the expectations are both are going to explode this year. It feels like that's a tough ask unless, let's rewind a few minutes, you get a Miami Dolphins situation where these two monopolize market share in this offense. Possible. But again, there's probably going to be one considered a loser of these two because the massive expectations affixed to both.
Sure. So I think it's going to depend a lot on the pass rate. So Bijan Robinson recently came out and was comparing what they wanted to do on offense to what the 49ers do with Christian McCaffrey, and that they were going to be much more run first. I mean, I would expect Bijan Robinson to say that. I don't know how much stock I put into his thoughts on that, but if that's the case, then yes, I agree. The expectations for both Pitts and London, maybe there's going to be a winner and a loser here. But I mean, the Minnesota Vikings under Kirk Cousins the last 2 years, second in the league in terms of total team catchable targets per game. So we've seen Kirk Cousins support a huge, absolutely huge pie basically for a passing attack. I'm open to both Pitts and London being really good. I mean there are plenty of positives in both of their profiles. London came in as a rookie, immediately commanded a 28% target share. Kyle Pitts, in terms of expected fantasy points per route run over his last two seasons, is third among all tight ends behind only Travis Kelce and Mark Andrews, above TJ Hawkinson, above Sam Laporta. So, I mean, both of these players in their early careers have been given really, really raw deals. So I am certainly open to the upside for both of them. And I think most importantly, last year, we're talking about these Shanahan-style offenses, Zach Robinson coming from the Sean McVay tree. Last year, there were a third of the league's top 24 wide receivers came from four teams, and all of them were Shanahan and McVay style offenses. So literally the 49ers, Texans, Dolphins, and Rams produced the wide receiver 2, wide receiver 6, the wide receiver 7, the wide receiver 13, the wide receiver 16, the wide receiver 19, wide receiver 22, and the wide receiver 24 by fantasy points per game. So if I were to pick another offense in the league that can support both a top end wide receiver and a top end tight end, Atlanta under Kirk Cousins would be near the top of that list. So I really don't think it has to be a one or the other type thing. I want both of them. I'm drafting both of them at ADP.
Okay. And I want to compare Drake London to another expected, and it almost seems assumed, breakout season, best season, top 12 season, however you want to moniker it, Garrett Wilson. Because the disparity between those two guys, both of them have something to prove. Both of them have been valued at a point where it's like they already had a top 12, top 15 season under the belt. So they basically have to do it based on their dynasty price. What do you think about Garrett Wilson and a future second versus Drake London and a future first? Do you like Garrett Wilson that much more? The market actually does. So what kind of an add-on, or do you view that as both guys have a pretty decent chance to produce to the same level this year?
I mean, so we have seen Wilson, even with all of the awful quarterback play he's had, produce wide receiver one, actual fantasy wide receiver one level numbers, at least in spurts. So we've seen it a little bit more with him, but between the two, I would definitely take the first. So yeah, give me London in the first. Part of that is I would say I'm very uncertain about either of their quarterback situations beyond this year. It very well possible Aaron Rodgers and or Kirk Cousins have a career-ending injury like at any moment now. And in reality, that might be what determines which side of that wins. So I'm just always going to lean towards, give me the asset that I know is going to have value. Give me the first round pick when I'm picking between two guys in a tier there. And that, I mean, that's going to carry pretty much throughout my philosophy in dynasty leagues and how I like to manage my rosters.
Another wide receiver. And this is more of a redraft take, but one of your quotes was, Amari Cooper probably going to be one of your highest rostered wide receivers when you look at the early rounds of drafts this year. Amari Cooper, the Browns, what is your thinking there, your defense, your support of Amari Cooper as one of the bigger values at wide receiver this year?
Yeah, so Cooper was actually elite in a lot of ways last year, but we kind of don't realize, especially just looking back at season-long stats, because right in the middle of the season, he played six games with UFL-level quarterbacks. I don't know if these guys even would be starting in the UFL. Dorian Thompson-Robinson, PJ Walker, Jeff Driskel, six games with those guys. Cooper had just a 63% catchable target rate, averaged under 8 fantasy points per game. But outside of those six games, so we got about half Deshaun Watson and half Joe Flacco in this sample, Cooper averaged over 20 fantasy points per game. He would have been a top six wide receiver last year at that pace. And you can see that the yards per out run, the catchable target rate, all of the peripheral stats we care about increase when he has anything that is better than the absolute worst quarterback play in the league. And for some reason, especially in underdog drafts right now, where we're understandably very thirsty for wide receivers in a best ball format, Cooper is lasting until the fourth round, the fifth round, when with all of these other wide receivers just flying off the board. I don't understand why we're not more excited about Amari Cooper, where he has demonstrated wide receiver one upside in this exact situation that he's going to be in last year. I unless people really think Jerry Jeudy is like a big threat to his targets, which I would not agree with. Jeudy has not surpassed a 20% target share since his rookie season. I think the whole Jerry Jeudy in the NFL thing is a little bit dead personally. So yeah, I just see Cooper as an incredible value, an incredible projection this year. Even in Dynasty, he's kind of, if I am looking at my roster and I'm saying I want to add some production at the wide receiver position, if I'm going to be sending away like a second round pick or something, that is the first place I look, is who has Amari Cooper and what can I spin here with this roster?
Yeah, he's in the wide receiver 35 to 40 range. He's one of those, I deem it a bridge wide receiver, where he could really help you get to maybe some of your younger players as they develop over the next year or two. Cooper, relatively cheap. I love the Jameis Winston addition as well. Like you said, can he get functional quarterback play? Jameis Winston, distributor of interceptions, but also distributor of high-end fantasy production around his passing game water cooler as well. Final thing here, positive regression in fantasy football, regression in general. You got a couple bullet points for us in terms of how we should look at that and how that could shade some of our player analysis.
Sure. So I wrote a really big article about this recently. It's called Statistically Significant Weighted Opportunity. You can find that on fantasypoints.com to get a much more full understanding and take your time and read through exactly what I'm saying. I'll do my best here on this podcast. But as I was talking about weighted opportunities, just a measure of all of a running back's touches and the proper value of them. So over the last decade of the top 30 least efficient seasons out of a running back in terms of their points per game versus their weighted opportunity, 29 out of those 30 players positively regressed, became more efficient in the following season. The average climb on that was from a minus 2.8 point per game differential to about a minus 0.3, so almost exactly even. So if a running back is incredibly inefficient in one season, overwhelmingly likely he will be more efficient the next season. Now, in terms of whether that matters for fantasy football and how you apply that to your drafts, it's important to note that what everything I just said before this assumes that the player's volume stays the same. And that is very often not the case. If a player has a very inefficient season, their team will notice and say, hey, this clearly isn't working. Maybe we should keep his workload a bit lighter. Maybe we're going to completely move on from the guy, as happens around the league a lot now. So, among high volume running backs, so minimum 15 weighted opportunities per game, who were very inefficient, so a negative 2 points per game differential or worse, only 27% of those players went on to score at least 15 fantasy points per game in the following season. So very, and all of them positively regressed. All of them were more efficient, but it didn't matter in terms of their actual scoring because their volume decreased. So yes, if like efficiency regression is kind of a mathematical truism, it's just a law of numbers. It's what we tend to see. But I think it's important to understand that because volume is so much of what matters in fantasy football, we should be more focused on predicting which direction the volume's going to go in than which direction the efficiency is going to go in.
Yeah, well said. They have to keep the job. And a lot of times, again, if you're not good at your job in a few of these measures, what are the odds the next year they're going to have the same job security? Even if you start with the job, it might be where they drafted, signed, or they find a competition or your replacement in the meantime. So it really doesn't apply, as you said, to as many players as we think when we make this big list and we're like, all right, I got it. I got the skeleton key for sleepers, when a lot of them, life is going to come at them fast, NFL depth chart wise. Ryan Heath, where can we find you? You already mentioned a couple significant pieces of work you have of late, but anything else you want to point folks to as we close up shop here?
Yeah, you can follow me on X, formerly known as Twitter, at Ryan J underscore Heath. And as far as my writing goes, you can find all of that on fantasypoints.com. Right now, the series I'm focused on is called Statistically Significant, where I kind of go through all of these different, important, interesting stats that we can find in the Fantasy Points data suite and talk about which ones are predictive and what we can basically learn to apply to our actual fantasy football teams from all of the data that is available in that Fantasy Points data suite. Highly recommend checking that product out as well. It is incredible. We have all of these charted stats, like catchable targets, first read target share, stuff you can't easily find elsewhere. You can filter by absolutely anything. It's just an amazing tool. You can check that out at data.fantasypoints.com. And a few of the tables on there are completely free for you to check out, for you to get a feel for the tool and what it offers.
Excellent. Yeah, and you had a general overview as well on how to use it, basically, which is key for any giant data document, as you were mentioning. Ryan Heath, thank you so much for coming on, sharing your time and talents. I am Chad Parsons. Until next time, never settle, refuse to be average, and keep building those facts.
1s who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.